طيب طيب بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على النبي محمد وشرون لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وشرون محمد عبده ورسوله أما بعد. طيب so inshallah today we want to continue with our discussion of the tafsirs of the Shia. As we mentioned last time, when it comes to the Shia and the Quran as a whole, there's four fundamental questions that need to be answered, at least for my class here. I have established four fundamental questions. We kind of touched upon a couple of them last week, and that is the question of whether or not they really believe in the Quran, and the question of at-tahrif. And that issue, we didn't go into great detail in it, great deal concerning it last week. If this were a class on, inshallah, someday we'll have a class on the history of Aqidah and the sects and so forth. We spend maybe a whole quarter just discussing the Shia. We could discuss that in more detail. But it is something that is very clear in their books. Most of the books of Tafsir, with the exception maybe of about three, as I mentioned last time, most of the books of Tafsir of theirs clearly accept the idea of the presence of some portions of the Quran, some revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is not in the Quran that we currently possess. And in some of the reports, and on some of the reports, it's quite a large number of verses or surahs that are missing from the present Quran. And then we spoke also briefly about whether or not the Shia in reality really need the Quran. Well, you can say that they use the Quran, but since they have their imams, and since they have the imams who came after the time of the Quran itself, for their own present times, the imams were much more necessary. By the way, after the what they call the occultation of the last imam, for the past many centuries, obviously they've kind of had to develop a new theory because their imam is no longer present as such. Right, so the one who is still receiving, the one who in their theory should always be there and is always receiving revelation, is no longer there. And so that actually led them to develop some aspects of tafsir and develop some rational sciences with respect to the deen, because the actual imam that is supposed to be guiding at all times is not present, and the chain has stopped. So what do we want to discuss today, inshallah, is what is their theory of tafsir? How do they approach tafsir? One of the things that we could discuss, like we discussed for some of the other groups, like the Mu'tazila and Tafsir al-Ma'thur, the basic concepts of Asbab al-Nuzul and question of whether or not they use Israeliyat and so on. Those questions can be discussed. Obviously, they are related to their Tafsir, but I'm interested in something a little bit different, because they definitely have a unique approach to Tafsir. And that's what I want to specialize or concentrate on. Yeah.
Don't they have the writings of their imams?
You mean like collections of their imams? Yes, but what I was saying last time is that like after the 200 years after the death of the Prophet ﷺ, there's new issues coming up and there's different situations. You just turn to the imam who's receiving the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't need to turn to the Quran. You don't need to turn to the Sunnah. The Imam is there. He's receiving revelation. Just get the answer from him. You don't even have to read the Quran. But it was after the line came to an end, or the disappearance of the last Imam, that then they were really forced into kind of trying to derive laws from the Quran, trying to derive laws.
When they go back to the writings of the Imams, mm-hmm. instead of going back to the Quran.
Yes, but still the imams have come to an end. So now they have to think like us. They have to go to their texts, whether it's the Quran or Sunnah or the imams. They have to go to the texts and derive things now, which they didn't actually have to do before. At least not on a wide scale. By the way, when we use the word hadith, so now in this class, when I use the word hadith, it has a different meaning. What do the Shia mean when they say hadith?
Hadith from everybody.
Okay. Not quite from everybody. But what they mean by hadith is any narration from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam or any of their 12 imams. So that's what we mean. That's what we mean by hadith. So one of the things that we see in if we wanted to talk about the sources of tafsir in a previous class, we talked about the Quran, the Sunnah, and the Arabic language, and so forth. Obviously, when you talk about sources of tafsir with respect to the Shia, the number one source of tafsir is the statements of the Imams. Okay, the statements of the Imams. Because the Imams, according to them, had a direct connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was bestowing that information on the Imams. And so they are like the intermediary between us human beings and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the important point here, though, is that what that means is that they are basically the ultimate source of tafsir, and whatever comes from them is the true interpretation of the Quran. Okay. You can't judge. You can just think about our situation. When something comes from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we don't question it, right? If it's something authentic comes from the Prophet, we don't question it. And so if the Prophet is explaining to us a verse in the Quran, or is implementing a verse in the Quran, we don't question it. So the Shia are the same way. The Shia, when something comes from one of their Imams, and the Imam is saying this is what the Quran means, or this is how to implement the Quran, they don't question it. So their approach towards the Imams is similar to like our approach towards the Prophet. Now, if the foundations of their beliefs, by the way, were true, then what they're doing is logical. So, when you get in a debate with Shia, and I've had many through the years, you have to be careful about what it is you are, how it is you kind of bring down their ideology, because if you say, for example, you people believe in the Imams and whatever the Imam says, that's their interpretation of the Quran, that's what the Quran means. If you deny that possibility, then you're also denying for the Prophet system. Because their belief is they are receiving the meaning of that from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if the Prophet can do that, then also the Imams can do that. You have to go back to the foundation and prove that their Imams are not ma'soom. That's the foundation. You have to go back to that foundation. You have to prove that their Imams are not receiving revelation and their Imams are not free from error. Otherwise, if you start with any other point as a Sunni, you're in big trouble, because you're going to be harming yourself. You know, the Shia you're discussing, you may not realize it. Maybe you can convince them, but in reality, you are saying something that is not correct. So the Shia also have what is known as the Tafsir bin Ma'thur. Do you remember what Tafsir bin Ma'thur is? We had it in this class before. Okay, so when we say Tafsir bin Ma'thur, we're talking about Tafsir based on reports, right? And those reports in our views are reports from in particular the Sahaba and the Tabi'in and so forth. So a number of their tafsirs can actually be called Tafsir bin Ma'thur. A number of their tafsirs can be classified like our classification of tafsir based on reports. And in fact, they have, but in their cases, based on hadith. Remember that definition of hadith, right? Mm-hmm. based on hadith. So they actually have some books of tafsir which are very similar to Suyuti's work, Ad-Dur al-Manthur. Asyuti, obviously Sunni, I'm just comparing the what they've done. Asyuti's work is nothing but hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, explaining verses of the Quran. Right? So he's tying hadith of the Prophet ﷺ into verses of the Quran. And he does not offer any further explanation. You do not find anything from Asyuti and Abdul al-Manthur except for information about the source of the hadith and maybe the chain, something about the chain. Otherwise, there's nothing from Asyuti, none of his ijtihad, none of his personal contributions. So similarly, there's books of that nature. There's books of that nature among the Shia, books which are purely Tafsir bin Ma'thur. We're going to be discussing a couple of them shortly, inshallah. One is called Nur al-Thaqalain. Nur al-Thaqalain. Light of the two heavy. What is the two heavy things in the when you think of Thaqalain, and from the Sunni perspective, they usually think of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad. But in the Shia perspective, it's the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the family of the Prophet. So Nur al-Thaqalain, and that was written by someone, his name is Al-Huwaizi Abdu Ali. Abdu Ali Al-Huwaizi, the servant of Ali. And then there's another one called Al-Burhan by Al-Bahrani. And we'll, as I said, we'll come back to them shortly. So these are purely Tafsir bin Ma'thur. And there's others as well, which have that kind of characteristic. They're just taking their hadith. So they do not, in Tafsir bin Ma'thur, in their books, there's nothing from the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. Or I should say there's very little from the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. Because they are very explicit. They are very explicit that the companions of the Prophet ﷺ are not acceptable narrators. So they have books also of Al-Jahw al-Ta'dil. One of their more important books is called Tanqih al-Maqal fi Ahwal al-Rijal. The author's name is Abdullah al-Mamaqani. And basically, when you read it, all you know, almost every Sahabi is da'if. Uthman, so here's the entry for Uthman ibn Affan. Uthman ibn Affan al-Umawi. So he's from the Umayyad tribe, very important. Khalifat al-Amma. Khalifat al-Amma. Al-Amma, what they mean by al-Amma, like, kind of like the Sufis. Al-Amma are the masses who don't know the truth. In other words, the Sunnis. We are al-Amma. Khalifat al-Amma. And then it says, da'if. As a narrator hadith, he is weak. Abdullah ibn Umar al-Khattab, khabith, evil, da'if. عبد الرحمن بن عوف من عذف الضعفاء. عبد الرحمن بن عوف from one of the most weakest of the weak, and it goes on like that. So you will not, it's very it's not very common, it's not very common in their books of athar, I mean in their tafsir al-ma'thur, to find narrations from the sahaba. Even narrations from the Prophet ﷺ are not that common. At least they're not the most essential. And again, because the Prophet ﷺ, you know, the Prophet ﷺ for them is one of 13, right? For us, he's one. For us, he's one, and he's special. But for them, he's like one of 13. So they have if you look at their hadith, again, their hadith, by their definition of the word hadith, their hadith of tafsir, so their hadith of tafsir nature. They have about 14,000 hadith. 14,000 hadith in the most important and comprehensive works, including those I mentioned, Nur al-Thaqalain and Al-Burhan. So if you take the percentage of who they come from, who those narrations come from, you have, I'll put the word there, Imam there, Jabir al-Sadiq, he is their sixth
imam.
47% of the hadith, again, according to their definition of hadith, come from Ja'far al-Sadiq.
And then actually second is actually the Prophet at
13%. 13.5%. Now later, by the way, we're going to come back to this and adjust it a little bit as well. And then the fifth imam, his name is Baqir, 13%. And then Ali ibn Abi Talib. Ali ibn Abi Talib is around 7%. And then you have Imam Rida, and then Imam Kadhim, and then Imam Hussein. And then finally, number 9 here, Ibn Abbas. Now, of course, they can't be completely anti-Ibn Abbas, because Abbas is the part of the Prophet's family, so they have to have... and the other imams, companions, and their followers, so... This goes back to your kind of question. They also have companions for their imams and their followers. So in that category, there's around 6%. Okay. So that's other imams other than the 8 or 7 that I didn't mention them all here. And then unknown persons, by the way. Unknown persons. There's actually some change that lead to unknown persons. Someone said. And that's 4.5%. Ja'far al-Sadiq plays for the 12, what they call the 12 imams, as you can see from this. Ja'far al-Sadiq plays a central role, or at least I want to separate the real Ja'far al-Sadiq from what they what they might claim. In fact, one of the persons that they narrate a lot from, his name is Ja'far al-Ju'fi. Ja'far al-Ju'fi. They have lots of narrations from Ja'far al-Ju'fi on the authority of Ja'far al-Sadiq. Ja'far al-Sadiq was also Abu Abdullah. So if you see reports in the books of the Shia on Abi Abdullah, this is Ja'far al-Sadiq. So this one, Ja'far